All right, try to name the sandwich I'm talking about. It is savory, and it is sweet, and it is accessible, reliable, affordable, and historic. It is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day, so WBUR's Andrea Shea has a story about the all-American lunchbox staple's origins in Boston 125 years ago.
Food historian Susan Benjamin opens a bag of bread, then a couple of jars, and starts slathering.
When you put the peanut butter on the bread, it's crazy to imagine how many legions of people have done this exact same thing.
Benjamin is the author of Fun Foods of America and says the PB&J we know today has Victorian-era roots. In the late 1800s, peanut butter was everywhere, and she dug up recipes for jelly sandwiches in old newspapers.
But they didn't say peanut butter and jelly. They were separate.
Until a 1901 article brought them together. It was published by the Boston Cooking School, which was founded by women to empower women with knowledge about food, nutrition, and budgeting. In her magazine piece, Julia Davis Chandler suggested a dainty triple-decker with
three very thin layers of bread and two of filling, one of peanut paste, whatever brand you prefer, and currant or crabapple jelly for the other. The combination is delicious and, so far as I know, original.
This was, as far as we know, the first recipe for PB&J that would later land in kids' lunch boxes, but started in the tea rooms of the fancy and well-to-do. And then you start to see iterations of peanut butter and jelly popping up all around the country,
including peanut butter and jelly with watercress. But it took time for the PB&J to really take hold.
Now, as you move into the 20s, something bubbles up, and that is that women overtly said something they've been feeling for a really long time, which is that they hate to cook. Peanut butter and jelly. Not only do the kids love it, but they can do it for themselves. Go ahead, honey, make your own sandwich. And it really took off.
With help from mass-produced jarred peanut butter and jelly and machine-sliced bread. Benjamin says PB&J appealed because it was nutritious, portable, and affordable. During the Depression, moms relied on it to sustain their families. World War II soldiers' rations included peanut butter and jelly kits. In the post-war 1950s, homemakers had access to convenient processed food in cans and boxes, but also faced pressure to conform to domestic ideals.
At that time, women felt really guilty about using ready-made cake mixes and so on because they felt like they were cheating. Peanut butter and jelly was just as easy, but they weren't cheating.
Peanut butter
and jelly.
Peanut butter
and jelly.
In this century, the humble PB&J has been a star in songs like this children's classic, Memes, and Family Guy. It's the NBA's favorite pregame power snack. But for Susan Benjamin, PB&J will always be the sandwich that still makes women's lives easier. For NPR News, I'm Andrea Shea in Boston.